We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Welcome in. Steve Geller with Bobby Hebert along with Charlie Long hanging out. And you know, guys, I started getting ready to channel surf looking for the NBA game three tonight. And we won't have a matchup Denver at Miami till tomorrow night.
I'm
not liking how the NBA spaced out the schedule.
Well, that benefits the Heat, considering Denver, all the rest they had, and how the Heat had to go to seven games to beat the Celtics. But yeah, tomorrow night at 7:30 is going to be on ABC for game three. Boy, I'm telling you, watch out for the Heat. You look where they're at, and it's never over till it's over. This caught my attention. That you look at the Heat and the Denver Nuggets, you might say, I think I picked Denver in six.
Being better than most folks had, like Denver in five or even four.
Or sweeping.
Yeah, right.
But I had like Denver in six, but I thought that the Heat might take care of business at home in Miami, but not be 1-1 after two games.
Impressive for sure.
Now, this is impressive. Steve, look at this, Steve and Charlie. When facing a deficit of at least 12 points this postseason, the Heat are 7-6. You jack up three-pointers and you're hitting them, and you can, are we going to win this game? We're winning by 15. Then all of a sudden, like, what the hell happened in the fourth quarter or any time in the game? That when you overcome that kind of deficit. But when facing a deficit of at least 12 points this season, the Heat are 7-6. The rest of the NBA is 6-59 combined.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to read that again.
Yeah.
Okay, look at look at all the NBA teams in the playoffs. Okay, when you lose them by 12 points or more, the Heat have come back and they're 7-6, and the rest of the NBA is 6-59. So that shows you how special the Heat are. Now, and the Heat did this. It doesn't matter the opponent. They did it against Milwaukee Bucks. They did it against the Knicks, New York Knicks. They did it against the Boston Celtics. All found themselves on the wrong end of a Heat rally when you look at the Heat. That's why you can't count the Heat out. Now, what also caught my attention, what Miami is doing is simultaneously historic from a historical standpoint and completely on brand for the Heat. Not what you expect.
Why, what do you mean, good sir?
There have been four teams in the past 25 years. Okay, that's a quarter of a century. There have been four teams in the past 25 years to have seven postseason wins after trailing by double digits in a game. Now, the Golden State Warriors did it last year on the way to their NBA title. Now, there's only been four times the last 25 years. The other three teams on that list is the 2011 Heat, the 2012 Heat, the 2023 Heat.
Get out of here.
All under Coach Eric Spoelstra.
Wow.
So I'm like, whoa. You think like, because I thought what Denver's going to be up 2-0, and you go maybe go do something else. Then I look at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Right.
What the hell happened? The Heat are winning now? Charlie,
Bobby,
did you observe any of that?
I got a stat for you as well. So this is from ESPN Stats and Info. The Heat have been outscored by 24 points over the first three quarters of this postseason. They are plus 90 in the fourth quarter. That is currently the third best fourth quarter point differential in a single playoffs in NBA history, only behind the Cavaliers in 2007, who were plus 99, and the 2020 Heat, who were plus 94 in the fourth quarter when it matters the most, guys.
You look at the Heat. Look, the Nuggets, you know how dominant they've been at home. The Nuggets were 45-3 this season in games when they led by at least 15 points, and all the games at home when they led by more than like 12 points, they were 38-0. Well, now they're 38-1.
Wow!
And then you look at it, but you know what's special about the Heat? Because they didn't really show up. They're like, they're the free agents that they weren't drafted and all that. You know who showed up in that fourth quarter? They were down by 8 points, okay, going into the fourth quarter. Look what Duncan Robinson and Gabe Vincent did, two undrafted guards. They scored Miami's first 15 points of the final quarter. You know, so you think they're leaning on Jimmy buckets, whatever. To start the fourth quarter, 15 straight points came by Duncan Robinson and Gabe Vincent. Well, I think if we can get a Pels team like that, I'd want to go to a game every night to be in that number and support that type of team and that kind of fight.
Well, what was frustrating, obviously, with the Pelicans, the season started out phenomenal.
Yes. And then came the new year, late December, early January. And Zion, I don't know, he's making babies.
Bobby, piggybacking off of what you had said earlier about comebacks in the postseason for the Heat, this is another one that kind of cements that thought. In Game 2, the Heat were trailing 83-75 entering the fourth quarter. Miami now has 4 wins when trailing by 8 or more points entering the fourth this postseason. That's the most in a single postseason in NBA history. Miami is 4-5 in those situations. The rest of the NBA, 1-41 from ESPN Stats and Info.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Denver knows they have to steal one in Miami to get back the home court. And Coach Malone called out his team. You know who's soft and needs to be more of a dog is, and he pouts. What's that, Michael Porter Jr.?
Yep.
And then what is he doing? I'm glad the coach called out. So I'm not making my shots. Well, you still can play defense. How about you could show up big on the defensive side of things? No, that's why I'm glad Coach Malone called him out. Come on. And the one thing, you look at the Joker. Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's like 3 now playoff games where he's had over 40 points.
And they're 0-3.
How does that happen,
they're
right?
They're 0-3.
The only one doing anything.
No, what's going to happen, they're going to let Joker get his. When he's really excelling with those triple-doubles, you know, you take for granted. Oh, he'll have double-digit points. He'll have double-digit rebounds. But it's those assists.
Yeah.
He only had 4 assists. I'm telling you, that's key. So the Joker's pulling his weight. Now he needs Murray and Porter. And that's why, as good as the Joker is, you got to have help. It has to be a team effort.
Yeah, your boy Porter had a whole 5 points last game.
No, he was like pouting. He was pouting during the game.
Well, we won't be pouting coming back. We'll get into more Saints OTA sound here from the quarterback, QB1, Derek Carr, after the break here on WWL.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on WWL Sports Talk, getting into some more Saints organized team activity sound. Talking to the quarterback, Derek Carr. Here's what he had to say after today's organized team activity.
Yeah, so what's it like having him back to practice, and what do you get out of that as a quarterback?
It's awesome. A lot of communication. You know, a lot of it, when a guy has played a lot of football, it's not a lot of teaching that I, you know, from me. You know, he's seen the coverages. He's run all the similar plays that I'm used to running in Gruden's system and all those things. So when we're talking the same language. And so, time on task and things like that, that'll happen. And it'll happen quick because we're 2 veteran guys. Game reps is obviously the most important thing. But, being able to communicate, hey, how do you see this? Hey, how do you see that versus this coverage? How about this? How about that? I mean, we've... we've talked about a lot in just a couple of days. You know, we've talked a lot before that, but a lot just in person in the last couple of days that we're on the field as things come up that, you know, if he went out there and ran certain routes right now, I'd know exactly what he was going to do and I'd put it on, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's just cool to have him in the building. You know, I know everyone was excited to see him. You know, everybody loves him here. You know, they love his work ethic. They love his competitiveness, his leadership, the way he plays, the way he practices, he prepares. And I think that's from just on the outside looking in, he's such a worker that, you know, that's probably why, you know, sometimes injuries happen when you play that hard and work that hard. And you don't ever ask a guy like that to tone down. You know, you keep going as long as you can, you know. And so just being around him, like I said, you talk to him on the phone, you feel like you can win a football game with just you two out there, you know. And being around him now, he just brings that energy about him that you feel the same way.
And how much did you all talk back before? Like, when you didn't you say you talked to him during the kind of recruitment process?
Oh, yeah, the recruitment process. You know, he was very important. You know, I wanted to know where his mind was and what decisions he was making, you know, because that mattered to me. So I remember sitting here for the first time being a Saint, and you know, flash forward to now, it's a lot of time has gone by, but I couldn't wait till he got in the building, you know what I'm saying? And you know, because there was a big part of my decision was Mike Thomas, you know that guy, just his mentality alone, you know, the injuries, it's football, you know, injuries are 100%, they're going to happen, you know, and he's, I think we can all agree, he's someone that dominates recovery, you know, he's not someone that's going to cut any corners or anything like that. And so you trust that he'll be as ready as he can be. And, but the football player and the mentality, that's, you know, the thing that I fell in love with him. You know, I sat there on the phone and I remember 2, 3 days, 4 days after we were on the phone, I just kept telling my wife, it's like, just love that guy. You know, I love his mentality. You know, how do you not want to play football with that guy, you know? And so having him in the building has been nice. But, yeah, we talked a lot, you know, beforehand, and especially in the recruiting process. You know, he was asking me, we make a decision yet? You know, I was like, not yet, Mike. You know, not yet, Mike. You know, a couple more things to do, but it was good.
Derek, was today the first time you were on the field? I know you talked about when you build chemistry with these new receivers. How has that relationship evolved? I assume you with it.
You're saying with Mike? Yeah, with Mike. Just the last couple of days, just talking on the football field. You know, because now I've never say I've learned it, but you know, I'm pretty far along in where I feel like I was, and knowing the system and things like that. And you know, you never want to feel like you have it all figured out, but feel confident with where I'm at. So now we're talking the same language. I'm not saying, hey, this is like what I used to, you know, we're saying the same words, and I'm asking the right questions, and he's, you know, giving feedback, and I'm not so prideful to say, well, you were successful on this route or this thing with Drew. Like, tell me, what did he say to you? What was he looking at? You know, like, I got no pride here. I'm trying to win, you know, like, I don't care, you know, who's right. I care what's right, you know. And, you know, Mike is sharing information, same thing. Like, yeah, you know, when, you know, Tay would run this and do it like this, I'm used to that. How do you see it? And I want to, you know, I'm putting it all together, and, you know, those algorithms in my brain are just trying to connect wires, you know, to make us successful and this organization successful. So it's been very, very helpful that he's been here. And I'm really thankful that he's been here.
When was the first time that you actually threw to him? Was it today or, you know?
I threw to him yesterday. I threw to him yesterday, threw to him today. I think there was, you guys saw that today a couple of times. We were working on stuff and things like that. So there's nothing, again, like practice reps, but nothing really like game reps. You know, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I'm as efficient and ready as possible for the game reps with these guys in the system. But there's nothing like, you know, those game reps or those live practice reps that you can get with each other.
Derek, the things we see, like when you throw the pass to Olave again in the red zone to Gober again, would that look like any OTA you've ever had before, or some of that new teammate stuff?
Which one? Sorry.
Like when you throw the pass in the drill.
Oh, when I throw it again. Oh, yeah. If we ever miss something, like, I don't care if it's pass interference, which, you know what I mean? Like, it might have been. I like talking trash. You know, like, no matter what, if we don't hit it, you probably won't see it a lot, but during the season, you know, training camp, you know, we're trying to get all the reps in. There's a lot of time restrict, all that. But if I can try and fit it in right then, I'd try and get that rep again. So that's what I started the wideouts know. If we miss anything, you know, if there's something, I want you to remind me after practice, because I'm going to be there to work. Come find me. And if you know, a young guy forgets, I'll throw it to somebody else, you know. But it's getting those reps again to where it just, nope, I feel perfect. I feel great about it. So then on Sunday, no, I've done it. I've already done it. I've already corrected it, you know. And again, you try and complete them all, which has never been done, you know, but you try your best to do it. And so it's always striving for that perfection is what I believe in. And knowing that you'll probably never get there, but you know, you're going to wake up every morning and try.
Anything with Chris Olave in particular that he's conveyed to you that he really wants to work on that you guys have worked on?
He, you know, the one thing that's overwhelming with him is even if, you know, on that ball, you know, the guy, you know, grabbed him, slowed him down. He's like, I got to get that. It's like, it's never like, oh man, if you throw it like this, he's like, he always feels it. I'm like, no, bro, I'm going to put it, you know, I'm going to throw it like this, or I'm going to do this, you know, but he is always so like, he wants to make every play. If you even throw it in his vicinity, he feels there should be a way he should get it. And that mindset that comes from him, that comes from, you know, TQ, it comes from Mike, Jawan, you know, all these guys, when you talk to him, it's the culture that's been built here that I talked about was so attractive to me that when I walked into the building, I just get to be me, you know. I'm not trying to build a culture or fix, you know, droughts and things like that. Like, I don't have to worry about that. Like, they've been successful without me, you know. I just get to be here and be me. And you could tell with the mindset of all the guys that they bring in here that they all work and think that way. And it just, when you're like-minded like that, it just makes things easy. You know, it's not like, hey, all right, let's go work on that again. Or let's go do it again. Like, you saw when the ball hit the ground, he threw it back to me. He didn't even, there was no question. He knew he was going to throw it back. I was going to throw it to him again. So that's just something that, you know, I've always tried to do.
Derek, did you play a lot in the preseason with the Raiders? And the fact that you're on a new team, will that change your preseason preparation as far as maybe trying to play a little more in games to develop a little chemistry with these guys?
Yeah, for me, you know, I've, you know, this will be 10 years of, you know, football and live bullets. And so I haven't played much in the preseason before. I think maybe with Gruden, one or two total series in 4 years. There were some, you know, times that I didn't play at all in the preseason. And we'd still, you know, play good in the first couple weeks. So it proved to me that, you know, if you practice the right way and you do things with those, like, joint practices, I don't know if we have them or not, but if whenever you have those, like, those are better than preseason reps because you actually get – they actually show stuff. You know, they show the pressures. They show different coverages rather than what they show in the preseason, you know. And so that's just how it's been. Now, if they want me to play, I'm not against playing. Anytime I have the opportunity to put that jersey on and – it's a blessing to walk out on that field. So if they need me to play, I'll play. You know, you only play 30 plays, I'll play 30 plays. You only play a whole half, I may question. No, I'm just kidding. But I'll play. You know, it's like I'm never going to, you know, feel like I don't need it. You know, if you need me to play, I think the coaches will probably want to see me, you know, throw a couple in their jersey. You know, so we'll see. We haven't even talked about it, if I'm honest. But if I play, awesome. If not, we'll make sure we're ready to go on week one.
Derek, I just want to make sure I heard you. Did you say Mike brought examples of stuff you did with Devontae and how?
Like Mike, I would ask Mike like questions like, how did Drew, you know, and he'd bring up like, hey, Drew would say, I like it like this. Do you like it like that? And my example was like, you know, hey, Tay would do it like this. How do you see it? And it's not like one's better than the other or anything like that. You're just like, you're throwing it all out there to get on the same page. You know, that this is my experience. What's your experience? Now, how do we make that coexist kind of thing?
And with Mike, you know, beyond the intangibles, you could, on the line, what was it about his, before you came here, his observable skill set during game that made you feel compelled to really investigate the opportunity to play with him?
Yeah, he's a violent route runner. You know, there's a few guys that are like that. I won't start naming them because people get offended, you know. but, you know, there's very few guys that run such violent routes and catch the ball and get back downhill. Like, a lot of guys like to catch that ball and dance around. Like, he gets north and south, you know. Like, he turns what should be second and five into second and two, you know. And that right there changes the football game, you know. And to the naked eye, it's just another slant, or it's just another this route, or it's just another over, but it's not. You know, he catches it, it's just another stick route, but what he's doing after the catch, what he's doing, you know, when he's rolling you, what he dictates, you know, coverages, you know, you have to account for him, you know, because he's so talented, he's so aggressive at the catch point, you know, when, even if he is covered, you can still throw it out there, and he can body him up in his hand, he extends his hands, strong hands, he's a bigger receiver, so you can trust him with those kind of throws as well, the back shoulder throws, he can win over the top and catch those, you know, late hands, and you know, those are the things that as I was watching the film, like, it's very attractive, you know, to me, especially when you get all the pieces going, you know, and you add them all and they're all healthy and they're all there, you know, it's what it could be, sounds fun, you know, it's not, we're not there yet, but it, you know, sure sounds exciting, you know, when you think about it.
That was the first part of Saints quarterback Derek Carr talking to the media after organized team activities today. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, since the get of getting here, he seems comfortable out there, getting more familiar with the wide receivers. And he's definitely happy to have Michael Thomas in the mix, and really credited him with being one of the reasons of wanting to come to New Orleans, saying, you know, getting to talk to the guy, he fell in love with him immediately. And he told his wife, he's like, I don't know how I can't not play with this guy.
Yeah, and Steve, when you look at and you look at matchups, and obviously, you know, we said this when the schedule came out, we're avoiding the elite quarterbacks. Obviously, because you look at the AFC versus the NFC.
Right, they're all in the AFC.
Now, I think how he finished, and possibly he could be amongst the elite, and I'm talking about like Pat Mahomes, or you look at like a Justin Herbert type, or you look at Josh Allen, or Joe Burrow, like Trevor Lawrence. But before last year, Trevor Lawrence had a ways to go, right?
Oh, for sure.
And then you get the right coach, and then all the perception is like, oh.
Doug Peterson worked his magic over there, right?
That he'll end up being amongst the elite. That's why when I look at why I say that it's a quarterback-driven league today the way it is, that we should have the edge. I mean, you know, like rookies or young quarterbacks, for instance, are when you say Derek Carr is right there, they don't have an advantage over Derek Carr. He's right there or better. Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff,
ugh.
And last year's Matthew Stafford. Not the Super Bowl Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford in his arm. I don't know if he's going to come back from his elbow. And then
I will say that guy is a quote-unquote warrior too, man. He's always banged up and seems to be playing with something.
Right, and then I mentioned Trevor Lawrence. So when you say that at least we're right there with Derek Carr, if you look at, okay, these are all legit starting quarterbacks. There's not enough.
But
Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. When you say, well, Derek Carr is right there with them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I think. Now, I was talking with Jeff Duncan. This is a homework assignment, Charlie, for all of us. And it's like Jeff kind of – we were talking because we were working on Red Zone today, 7-on-7 team, that Derek Carr hasn't necessarily been like a dominant red zone quarterback. Well, you don't have to be dominant red zone if you're hitting explosive plays and you're still scoring.
Sure.
But you want to score instead of settle for field goals, the bottom line. So that'd be something to look
up. That's surprising to hear with a dude like Darren Waller he got to work with, you know?
Yeah, but maybe you're scoring like it might be right outside the red zone. It might be a 30-yard play or something instead of like a 15-side the 10, that passer guy. But that's where I think Michael Thomas could come in. You know, back shoulder, kind of like when Jameis Winston hit him in the Falcons game.
Juwan.
Juwan. It's like the type play they ran today with Jesse James that Jameis hit, +9, back shoulder. You know, red zone touchdown. So that's going to be interesting to see how Derek Carr, you know, you're moving the team, but we got to get touchdowns and not settle for field goals. But this is the number one thing. You know how you say, like, okay, Andy Dalton. What has he not done in his career? Win in prime time, right? What is he, Charlie or Steve? Isn't he like 0-9, maybe 0-11?
He's like 0-12.
Okay, 0-12.
Oh, man.
Well, the one thing
I know.
The one thing Derek Carr has not done. You know what he's not done? He's 0-4. Do you know? But you know what? Cold weather's not going to be a factor. Because in December, the only team we're playing on the road is like Tampa Bay.
So he hasn't won in the conditions.
Derek Carr is 0-7 in games played outdoors in temperatures 37 degrees or below.
Oof.
That's not even like freezing cold. That's like cold football
weather.
Yeah,
Tampa won't even be like that in December this year.
Exactly. No. Yeah, it could maybe be in the high 40s
right.
or something. But yeah, Derek Carr is 0-7 and games played 37 degrees or below. But we don't have to worry about that. So
WWL's coverage of OTAs is brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. More Derek Carr sound after the break here on WWL. Second half of Sports Talk, getting into the second half of Derek Carr audio after OTAs. Here it is.
Yeah, what would you have had any chance of working with Eric
before? Man, smart. He's very smart. The first couple of times I could tell, we'd get up there, we'd break the huddle, and he's making mic points. I'm like, all right, you got that one. We'll let you, because I'm just used to making the points and all that kind of stuff. But you could tell that you're like, at least he's right, he knows it, he's smart. I sent him a clip. I don't even know when it was. It was right after I signed, I think. Some point I was watching film, and I sent him a clip of him running 40 yards down the field to make a block. And I just said, bro, this is so beyond impressive. If we get everybody to play like this, if we can lead everybody and teach everybody to play with that kind of effort, it'll be a special place. It'll be a special time, I should say. And that's just something that just stuck out to me because it wasn't just one time. Then I watched another play that's happening. I was like, I'm not going to text him 18 times, but like it's like every time this guy plays so hard and he's so smart and he snaps the ball good. So that's always a plus. It's nice. So he's perfect snaps. Don't want to put pressure on him. Don't tell him I said that. But, he's, very impressive player. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. You see the talent, you see the smarts, and now, hopefully we can get some, wins to so he can those guys up front can get recognized like they should.
I mean, all three quarterbacks were working with Mike one-on-one. I feel like you don't see that much in the middle of practice. You guys request that to get more time with them?
Yeah, so like I was going over certain plays, like just new plays for me and just getting used to throwing all those reps. And so he was spotting up those routes for me, just where he would be and in the same spot. So also he can come out of the break and see, it's funny to say, but not all quarterbacks throw the same type of ball. Some come out a little different. The spin is different. So it's just so he can get used to, catching those things from all different kind of route and angles and things like that.
This is our first time talking to you since. I just wondered if you could briefly kind of summarize how he influenced the way you play and what were the possible benefits of having him visit
frequently. I can't express enough, how much I love, Coach Gruden. He's family to me. When all that, stuff happened, it was hard. It was hard for me because you're mad, you're frustrated, but you still stop. You don't stop loving him. I love that man and what he's meant to me in my career. Played my best football with him, and I admire him. I've seen him around his kids. I've seen him around Cindy. His wife. I know who he is. And I, love him deeply like family. So I can't express to you how much he means to me. And how hard of a time that was for me when all that stuff was happening. So, the fact that I got to see him again. Give him a hug. Like it was like, he's saying, sir, I'm finishing this sentence, all this kind of stuff. It just comes back just like that. He's like, what was this play? And I could spit it out just like it was yesterday. It's like, what could have been, you think about those times, what could have been and all those kind of stuff, but I'm thankful to be here. And I'm thankful that I got to see him, wearing our colors. It was, neither of us thought a couple years ago that we'd be doing that, but here we are. And, it was pretty special to have him around, to have, a couple of my head coaches, DA and Gru, in the same room is awesome because they both know me and you can hear them just, communicate and, things like that. It was pretty cool.
How much does, you talk about, Michael Thomas, everybody's frightened, everybody's wrong, just kind of what do you like? What can Gru do in the room with you and Pete and just kind of ideas that y'all bounce off each other? How does that work?
Yeah, like all speed option, triple option, wing T. No. you know, it's just another great football mind, you know. And I just thought it was cool. Like, you know, I've always believed this. You know, Coach Olson, you know, Greg Olson taught me this. I was going to say Ole. I didn't know if y'all knew it. But Ole always said to me, he's like, and I always say it, it's like, it's not about, you know, who's right. It's about what's right. And so anytime you can just gain more information. If you throw 100 things at me, but only one thing stick, well, one thing got me better, you know. And so, you know, having all those minds in the room, it's just cool to listen and just have that football communication, that talk. You, when you're in a room with people that love the game the same way and see it the same way, you know, a lot of people love football, but not everybody sees it the same way. You know, trust me, we don't all see it the same way. But when you do see it the same way, it's fun to be in that room. Because I feel like that everyone could be at their best. You know, everyone's ideas make sense to each other. Everyone's receiving, you know, ideas, even if it's new. And it was just cool to just sit there and enjoy the time, you know, enjoy being around each other.
Saints quarterback Derek Carr after today's organized team activities. Definitely that time of year right now, we're getting excited more and more for football. And I don't know, I just keep getting more impressed with Carr when you hear him. Obviously, it's just speak right now, but what's been going on in the field? There's reason to be excited too, obviously, too, with a guy like Mike Thomas back.
Derek Carr, I mean, he seems like he says the right thing. Now you got to go out there and do it. He's a pro. He's awesome, not only on the field, but just how he handles and presents himself off the field. No, I think that's a big get for the Saints, and hopefully he makes history for the Saints, because the Houdat Nation would love that. And speaking of history, Steve, as we go to the break, 89-42, we have to acknowledge this because I do love history. Bobby, history buff, don't forget to mention D-Day. Yes, all the men who are the greatest generation ever. Also, right here in our backyard, Andrew Higgins, whose boats they carried the day to victory on D-Day. Yeah, that we got to recognize that. And, you know, used to be, you know, before it was the World War II Museum, you know, it was the D-Day Museum. And they changed it to the World War II Museum. No, the greatest in the world. People from all over the world come to the World War II Museum. But it all started with D-Day and the sacrifice, the greatest generation ever.
I've only been once to the museum here. I got to go again because there's so much to see.
No, because they constantly change the exhibits. They even have like a Disney exhibit and their involvement with World War II, promoting, you know, the cause and everything. So, no, you need to go. This is right here in our backyard. You got to take advantage of it.
Wrapping up Sports Talk after this break here on WWL. Closing things out here on Sports Talk, and one of Bobby's favorite things, obviously, we got some statistics for you.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about David Carr in the red zone.
Derek.
And look, you got Charlie Long breaking it down as fast as could be.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it as best as I can, guys. So we were talking about how the Raiders have traditionally kind of struggled in the red zone under Derek Carr, and that's kind of half true. I'm going to go year by year. In 2022, they were 26th in touchdown percentage in the red zone at 48.9. 2021, they were 29th in the NFL at 49.2. 2020, they were 23rd at 54.2. So the past 3 years, it's been kind of near the bottom of the NFL. Continuing down the line, back-to-back years in 2019 and 2018, they were 22nd in the NFL in red zone touchdown percentage. And then getting earlier in his career, 2017, they were 8th. 2016, they were 13th. 2015, they were 8th. In 2014, in his rookie year, they were first in the NFL in touchdown percentage in the red zone.
Well, is that the coach, Charlie? I don't know.
I think it is. I think it has a little something to do with Josh McDaniels being a bad coach, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Here's what's a little interesting. Because they had a 71.4% touchdown percentage in the red zone, you'd think, wow, that Raiders offense in his rookie year, 2014, must have been really good. Nope. They were 31st in the NFL with 15.8 points per game. They just didn't get to the red zone, guys. Whoa. When they got there, they scored touchdowns, but they just didn't get there very often. So a little bit, I'm still kind of reeling all these stats in, all these numbers, but a lot of the times near the top as far as red zone percentage goes, that many points per game, they just weren't getting to the red zone very often. So that's a little kind of food for thought.
Yeah, the bottom line is when you get to the red zone, common sense, you don't want to kick field goals. You want to score touchdowns, and vice versa. Defensively, you want to force field goals. And, you know, bend but don't break, but don't give up touchdowns. You know, I think this day and age, that's not going to change going forward. Scoring defense. I think scoring offense, you're always going to be, like, let's say top three or four. if you're averaging 27, 28 points a game, but only give up like 18 or 19. You can't help but win double digits if you're in that category, because then you'll be in the top five in both offense and defense, scoring offense, scoring defense. But I think John Gruden versus McDaniels, yeah, that does make a difference, I think, who's coaching. And I think Pete Carmichael, I think he's going to rejuvenate his career with Derek Carr at quarterback. That's me looking in the crystal ball.
Amen. I like that. Now take it away, Bobby. Say goodnight.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.